Russell Ling. This recording is part of the Oral History Project carried out by the Suffolk Horse Society in 2013, with advice from Cambridge Community Heritage and a generous grant from the Heritage Lotteries Fund. In the recording, you will hear the voice of Mr. Russell Ling describing his memories of the Suffolk Punch Heavy Horse. Russell is a retired farmer. The recording was made by Jeff Hallett, who is a member of the Suffolk Horse Society. The date of the recording was the 24th of July 2013, and it was carried out at his home in Otley. The duration of the recording is about 23 minutes. This is Jeff Hallett here recording from Mr. Russell Ling at Grange House, Helmingham Road, Otley. And today's date is the 24th of July, and we're going to ask Mr. Ling about his experience with the Suffolk Punch horses. But if I can just, and I've got your address there with that date of birth. Would you mind telling me your date of birth? Or
yes, it's 5th of the 8th, 29.
5th of the 8th, 29, thank you. And you're now retired, presumably.
I'm not going to say I'm totally retired. No, I still help out on the farm. Mm. I pack the eggs, and then I do a bit of tractor work. In fact, I'm going to be able to do a bit of topping this afternoon. But I don't do much manual work. Well, I don't do any manual work now because I haven't got the strength.
But were your family in farming?
Yes. My family of my grandfather, who bought this farm, originally came from Ashbocking, and he came as a tenant for the Rebow estate. The Rebow estate also owned Otley Hall, mm-hmm. and that actually was a farm until 1900, when it was sold by the Rebow estate, although the sitting tenant actually bought it and carried on farming until 1911, when he sold it again, and then that was bought by Mrs. Sherston and converted that to a private house. But the Ling families, there were four generations of the Ling family, farmed there for about 100 years between the early 70s and late 80s. But otherwise we've had another farm in Otley, or one of our ancestors haven't had another farm in Otley, and quite a number surrounding. So as far as I know, we've been in farming as far as I know how far back we go.
So your first experience of coming across a Suffolk Punch would have been quite early on, would it?
Oh, yes. Well, my grandfather used to, I used to load straw on a tumble, and he just cart round for the, because we kept pigs and cattle and that sort of thing. But the early work which I did was in when I was at school, and during the holidays I used to drive away. That is driving the wagons from the stackyard down to the field where they were loaded up, and bringing them back home again. And I also used a trace horse as well, so that we had two trace horses and used to drive halfway down and change them over. So each trace horse never got the full weight all the way up. Mm. And that gave a little bit more strength to bring the load home. And I used to do that all during the war years. And as well as doing the binding work, I used to drive the binder. Father used to get on the tractor for a start, and I used to set the binder, and as soon as I had it set, so it would cut and tie up the sheaves in a regular made, I used to change over and used to finish off the field.
So you would have two horses on the binder, would you?
No, this was a tractor, I should have said, yes.
Sorry.
Yes, no, we didn't ever use horses on a binder, although my father has used them, but mainly, it was all tractor work. But we had a standard Fordston, and that didn't do an awful lot of work. It was really basically the ploughing in the autumn crab harris in the spring and the pulling the binder in the summer.
Right. And did you have a horseman as well on the farm?
My father was the horseman. We had five horses, and he always got up and got the horses in, baited them,
right,
and we used to carry comb as well, although we had other men come in and, you know, harness them and that sort of thing, but he looked after them mainly.
So I think they used to say a horse for about every 50 acres, was it?
Yeah.
Is that?
Well, we've got 160 here.
Yeah.
So, yes, it would be about that, yes.
Somewhere around there. And were you ploughing with horses then?
No, we finished ploughing with horses, I should say, just before the war. Yeah. And we used the standard Fordson for ploughing. Yeah. We did use them occasionally, for instance... we're getting late on. We have used them, but not very often. It was really basically, it's just, you know, if there wasn't much for them to do, the men to do, we might as well send them off ploughing.
Yeah. Right. And what do you remember them, what was your sort of feeding pattern for the horses?
We used to, when we thrashed the wheat, we always carried the chaff up into the top. Of the loft, into the loft above the stable, and then we mill and mixed our own feed, which was mainly oats, beans, and had that in a bin, and we had a big round I don't know what you call it really, it was a thing for holding the chaff, and we used to put the meal in the middle. A measure of meal in the middle, tip it into the trough in front of the horses and put just a drop of water on, mix it up, and then they used to feed it, and then after that they would used to have we used to grow stubber with that was of course that was red clover made into hay, and we used to feed them with that as after they'd had the bait, so they were, you know, they were got up in good time, so they were ready to go out to work when the men came.
And then they would go on working through the day and
without
a break, well, without a meal in the middle of the day.
Yes, well, they used to come home it depended on the time of year. Winter time, they would probably go through and the men would bring something to eat in the middle of the day. And they wouldn't have anything else until they got home, but they would finish at 4 o'clock then. So they didn't do a very long day in this in that sense. But of course, during the summertime, when the men, when we're working late, the men used to go home for a lunch. And then the horses, of course, would have a bait and a drink in the middle of the day.
And the horses would have had shoes on.
Oh yes, they were all shod. We used to have the farrier come, and they were all shod just before harvest. And of course, obviously, if they threw a shoe any other time, we'd have to have it re-put on again.
So you say he would come to you?
Yes.
And was that? Did you have a forge here, or was that? Did
no.
You bring
well,
own?
we had a portable forge which we bought. So we did have one here ready.
Right.
That was only a small one, but it was quite adequate for what we wanted to do with it.
Do you have to turn the handle?
Yes, that's it.
Some of the horsemen used to get involved in sort of a whole social scene with their colleagues and that, and a lot of them were singers and storytellers. Did you come across any of that?
No. The only person who really gave me a good deal of information, but more on general farming, was a chap called Dennis Hawes, and the book I've written about him. He was a very interesting man, and he had done about four or five jobs, even more than that, I think, because he started on a road roller when he left school, then he went into the army, then he went into the police force, and eventually he came to us, and he had a fund of information. But he was one of these people who could turn his hand to almost anything. Yeah. And so that we moved from horses to tractor, and he was quite capable of using the tractor.
So you never came across the sort of superstitions and the horsemen's whispering and all this sort of thing that people have made a lot of?
No, I never came across any of that. Father had told me stories, one or two stories. Was one there when he said there was a toff, as they called them, riding along the road on his riding horse, and there was a farm worker walking along the road, and he chucked his whip at him, or threw, you know, whipped him because he was in the way, and this farm worker went to the horse's head, and he did something to him, and that horse never moved again. He went home to lunch, and he came back, and that horse was still there. How true that was, I don't know, but it is. There were horsemen who did have a great knowledge.
Yeah.
And there was another tale which he told me was that there was a chap had a very wild horse, and nobody could do anything with it. And this chap was asked if he would come and train it for him. And he opened a stable top door, and the horse reared up. And the chap threw his hat into the stable, went away, said, "I'm going to have some lunch." Came back, and he came out, and the horse was as quiet as a lamb. So what was in the hat, I don't know. But there's no doubt about it. The older horsemen did know quite a bit. They would only pass their knowledge on to sons who went into the horse trade. If they didn't go into the horse trade, they didn't pass it on. So it's all lost now.
Yeah, that's right. Because some of them used to have their little notebooks and specify they had to be buried with them and that sort of thing, didn't they?
I never came across that.
Oh, right. You were saying about the book you've written here about Ockley, mm-hmm. and just tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I've been writing that, doing articles on it for some considerable time now. I really started when I had the computer, because before that I just jot things down. It really started with Dennis Hawes, as I was saying. He used to tell me so much information. I thought, well, I really ought to make a note of it, because once I'm dead, that'll all be lost.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with history. It's so few people in the past have ever bothered to record information which is so valuable today.
Mm.
And I felt that it was, it was getting to the stage when we ought to keep a record of anything that took place. So I gradually built up a list of stories which or articles which are on things that took place in Ockley. And we got together and put this in the book, and that's the result.
You've got some good photographs in there. Are those from your own records or ones you've...
Well, as a matter of fact, they came... A lot of the... horse photographs came from our neighbour. Well, when I say our neighbour, he was a Ling, who used to be at Hall Farm, and he took photographs, and his son was very keen on family history, and he kept them, and he's written, well, as a matter of fact, he's done a book on the Ling mm-hmm. family history, mm-hmm. and he lent them to me to put into the book.
Yeah.
So that's where they came from. Mm-hmm. There was one which we got hold of, the Smythe drill.
Yeah.
That wasn't ours.
You told me about the sort of daily routine, and what happened at the weekends. I mean, Saturday was a normal day, was it?
Saturday went, well, when I first came home, that we went to lunchtime. Right. Men went up to and went to lunchtime, but of course later on, as the weeks got shorter, I mean, they had a Saturday off, and they're set, of course, in harvest time, and they would come and they were paid overtime in a normal way. Father would never work on a Sunday.
Right.
It was one of these, he was a great churchman, he was a church warden, and but he would never do anything other than feed on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And I know when I went to, first had a combine, we had a wet summer, and we had a Sunday which was dry, and I wanted to go combining, and he wouldn't. But I did it, and he wouldn't lift a hand to help me.
Yeah, but anyway, he did the feeding of the animals,
yes,
on the Sunday.
Well, he didn't. We did have a stockman.
All right.
We had a stockman who would come on a Saturday afternoon and Sunday, some of the feeding we did ourselves, but we did have a stockman.
And the horses you had here, were they purebred Suffolks, or were they bred from, or were they bought in?
They were all bought in. We didn't breed any ourselves. We had two piggies, two boxers, and a Smiler. And they had characters of their own, as you probably know. And we had one there, a Smiler. Now, he was Sunday when they were kept in the stable all day long. I'd go out there about 4 o'clock to feed them.
Yeah.
And he was missing, always was. And he would... because he had a chain which went through a ring next on the trough in front,
yeah.
And with the band round his head, and on the bottom of the chain there was a block of wood.
Yeah.
He would always manage to break the bolt through that block of wood. I knew exactly where he'd be. He'd be round in the stackyard eating stubber. Yeah. He'd guarantee it. Now, he had two boxers. Now, one of them, he was a cunning old beggar. He would, if he was in a cart or a wagon and he had a trace horse, you could see he would just keep going on that forward, so the chain was tight. But you could see the trace horse was sweating like mad and he was just ambling along.
Crafty.
Yes. The Peggy, we had a little mare, Peggy. I mean, she was a really hard worker. Not very big, but she didn't. She would pull like mad.
And did you have to get the vet in much, or did your father have his own cupboard of remedies? Or?
Well, we did have the vet occasionally, yes. But if they had a stoppage, he had, I don't know where he got them from, but he had what he called a ball. Yeah. And this would be put on a piece of stick on the with a pointed stick, and he'd shove it down the throat. And I should say probably half the time that horse managed to spit that out again. But we never had any die.
You didn't?
No, we lost any.
Really? And do you remember the horses going, or were they just kept on, or what happened?
Oh, yes, I remember horses going very well, yes. I mean, it was basically up when we first got a combine.
Yeah.
That was the part, that was the beginning of the end, if you like. Mm. We kept one horse. My father insisted on keeping one horse just to take the litter around,
yeah.
Straw around to the yards. Mm. But that finished, obviously it finished after a time.
Mm.
Yes, no, it was. But I was more of a mechanical man, I have to say.
Hence your interest, you said, in the Farm Machinery Club.
Yes, yes.
And that was the Suffolk.
That was the Suffolk Farm Machinery Club. Yes. Yeah.
Is that still going?
Yes.
I see them at the show.
Yes.
All the machines and the Inventive Farmer thing.
Yes. Well, the Inventive Farmer, that was introduced by Brian Bell, who lives in Ashbocking,
right.
And he was one of the early. Promoters of the Suffolk Farm Machinery Club. He was vice principal at Otley College. Mm-hmm. And the idea came for the Farm Machinery Club members who had come up with an invention or an idea of adapting machine or having a new machine which did a better job on the same thing. And they would have a couple of people used to go round and look at these inventions, and then the winner had a cup or a mug. But then it was introduced by the Suffolk Agricultural Association as the Inventive Farmer, in the show itself. Mm. So that's how it originated.
Mm. Right. That's always an interesting exhibit, I think, that.
Yes, it is.
Did you work the horses? Did you have a yard for the horses, the typical Suffolk sort of open yard?
Yes.
And then, so they would be in that during
the winter? Yes, they were in there during the winter time, but soon after the hay was taken, they used to go out on the meadow.
Mm.
And the call horse meadow was frightening enough.
And what about water for the horses? Was it? Did you have to carry it, or did you take them out?
No, they had a. They went down to the pond.
They did.
Oh yes, the pond had a mouth, yeah. And they would go down there and drink out of it. Mm. No, we never. As far as I remember, I don't think we ever put any water out for them. I think they just went. That's morning and night, or in the middle of the day. Of course, if they came home to drink, but otherwise, no. That's how they got their water.
You didn't get involved in carting water for the thrashing tackle?
Oh, yes. We did that. Well, we had a butt, horse-drawn butt, which we backed into the pond.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've filled that many a time. And, of course, that was taken round for the pigs and cattle. We had have water for them, of course.
So did you fill that with a bucket, or could you open the bottom or something?
No, we filled it with a bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Three-wheel butt with two double doors which opened out. You climbed over the top of it, and then when you had a stand at the back which you stood on, and the bucket would hang over on the inside, filled it up, shut the doors up, then clambered back over and sat on the horse's back and drove it out.
When you say the doors, do you mean on top of the thing?
Yes.
I ask you that because I've actually got a water carrier.
Yes.
Three-wheeled one, and I made some more doors to go back on there.
Yes.
But it has got these two little catches on the side, which I assume was for the little platform to stand on.
On the back?
Well, towards the back, but on the side.
No, not on, well, I never
on
seen
one
on the side.
Yeah.
No, the ones we had, was a platform on the back.
Right.
And there were double doors, which opened...
Folded out.
From folded back, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting things. Well, what else about the horses? Anything you can think of particularly? You've not been sitting there with any ideas you particularly wanted to mention we haven't got through? We've covered a lot.
Well, not really. I mean, the only other time I remember when our neighbour, Mrs. Sherston's son, came back from the war, they had known that they were fascists and were interned during the war.
Oh, really? Right.
He came back, and I don't quite know where he got his knowledge from, but anyway, he was using explosive to blow out stumps.
Yeah.
And that yeah. he blew some out when they were working with horses on the field next to the hall, which frightened them and broke the pommel tree. But no, otherwise it was. I don't really think we had any much trouble. I mean, harnessing went out. So always, obviously, the odd chain break, but otherwise, yeah. No.
Well, there is interest in the war with the anniversary of the first war coming up, about the people going around taking the horses off the farms to go to the front. Was that did that affect?
Well, I don't ever remember my grandfather saying they came round. Well, he had mentioned the fact that they had come round, but whether he lost any of his went, I'm not really sure. He never actually said. And this is, of course, the trouble, as I was saying, the recording history. When you're young yourself, you don't think about asking these things. And there's no end of things I've... think of, and I thought, well, you know, if only my father or my grandfather was alive, I could find it out.
Yeah, right.
But it's gone.